All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Let's go. This is going to be the wildest week in college football history. I just feel it in my guts. We have a coaching search going on, not only at LSU, but all these other pretty premier jobs. You're hearing about other jobs being close to finalized. And look, we are all on Lane Kiffin watch. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, should Lane Kiffin seriously consider, if he does come to LSU, keeping Blake Baker, the fantastic defensive coordinator who, by the way, versus Western Kentucky, that 2.3 yards per play mark, which is dominant, that was the best mark in a game since McNeese State in 2021. So a lot of you know I'm not the biggest fan of the color blue, right? Call me Keith Urban. Anyway, the truth is I am wearing this kind of quarter zip thing with Lane Kiffin Ole Miss colors, because I'm cheering for this man to do whatever he wants at this point. But the thing I want you to do more than anything, Lane, if you just happen to be watching this right now, is come to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So I'm going to go through the various reports from all the national reporters, some of the other local reporters, what I am personally hearing as far as what the next 48 to 72 hours would look like for LSU. And the truth is, that word, the next 48 to 72, has been used a lot. Remember, early last week, we were hearing, hey, this all could come to a head in the next 48 to 72. Well, no duh. Anything could happen, in particular with Lane Kiffin. So the people out there that are saying anything is signed, sealed, delivered, even if for some reason an MOU, which stands for a Memorandum of Understanding, even if that is signed, which isn't the final contract, even if that is signed, that doesn't mean it can't get ripped up and magically just put out to the wayside. I have a thing, though, for LSU fans listening to this right now, and I kind of want to do this. I've not run this with the wife just yet or my own family on either side. I kind of want to go to Starkville for the Egg Bowl and show up in Lane Kiffin purple and gold LSU shirts to really show this man that LSU fans truly do mean business. Maybe that can get him over the top. My gut feeling is going to stay the same until everything is done. I think he'll win the game and want to coach his team in the playoffs and stay at Ole Miss. That is what I think my gut, well, it is what my gut is telling me, even though there is so much positive Lane Kiffin momentum for LSU. And there's just so many different things you're going to need to sort out if he is indeed going to be your coach. What do we know? Well, from our five-hour mega stream on Friday, there's not been a whole lot that has changed from then until now. Remember, Ole Miss was on a bye week, and of course, LSU played the most disastrous win in LSU football history. And I do owe each and every one of you a very good apology from the bottom of my heart. I tweeted this out yesterday. Oh, God, thank goodness we actually have an actual football game to watch. And I regret that tweet because I never want to see this LSU-Western Kentucky game ever again. I don't even know if I want to do an offensive film study. The Blake Baker film study from this game is already up, and we bring up the question if he should actually be the next guy at LSU, maybe as the head coach. I don't know. But the truth is, I was repulsed with what we saw yesterday. After looking at some all 22 today, it's one of those things where I feel like I'm just wasting everyone's time even doing a film review. But, you know, I kind of want to do it. We're so used to doing it every Monday night at around 6. So we might drop another one tomorrow. I might do it at 5 and then go live at 6 if something does indeed break. So once again, for this next week, we might actually go live every single weeknight. Okay. Now, this is actually where I want to go. I want to talk about the Kinzel Kelly incident last night as well. This has been the number one discussion point, not only in our Discord, more so with private messages in our Discord, but what actually happened. All right, so according to the young man, he says that Brian Kelly was not allowed to be at senior day with LSU. All right. I personally did not reach out to anyone to see if that was true or not, because I really don't think at this point it is all too relevant. I think that's wasted time instead of talking to people who may or may not know something about Lane Kiffin signing with LSU. Whatever the case may be, if you liked it, you're probably in the wrong. If you understood it as a son and as a father, sure, right? A son should do anything for his father, and a father should do anything for his son. But the truth is, I am of the belief that I was okay with him saying that. I do think the marker on the t-shirt was a good bit of overkill, if you will. And Free My Boy is normally for people that really do need to be freed from a justice system, from actual public harassment, whatever it may be. You know, for me, there is no freeing. You are living a life that many of us wish we could live as the son of a millionaire many times over. So I do understand what he said, but it was a disastrous look. And it's not lost on me that he did that. And, well, what happened on the next play? The great Harlan Berry fumbled the football, and it was a 13-10 game. Okay. So, look, I've gone back and forth on how much I even wanted to talk about it tonight. But, man, it was just a disgusting look. It was a disgusting look. Because another thing about you doing that is if you do something like that, it sucks the air out of the entire senior night and of the game. So there you go. Now, we're going to get to some of your comments. Free my boy Carter. There you go. Juwan Johnson. Someone wants to talk to Juwan Johnson in here. The egg bowl on Thanksgiving night. No, it's on Friday. It used to be on Thanksgiving night. There you go. Yes, please hit the like button, subscribe, all that good stuff. We're going to be chilling tonight. I do think we'll have more info tomorrow, right? I do think we could see some real motion. I don't think anything was ever going to come on Sunday. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I am. Okay. Let's go to Alexander with the first super chat of the evening. CJ Bailey, JKS, or Lagway for 2026. I wasn't going to touch on this tonight, but let's do it. So what he's referencing here is who should be LSU's quarterback for 2026. And like I said in the postgame live stream last night, I don't want tonight to be an overall referendum on, obviously, I was going to say Michael Van Buren, but they really played up the Martin Van Buren thing, him sharing the same last name and the same initials of a former president. But Michael Van Buren was not good last night. He just was not. There were open guys. This was not an instance of Alex Atkins not calling a great game. Were there some really rough calls in there? Yeah. And I hate when people say that and I provide specific examples. Anything outside zone to the right, there was a good run by Juwan. He cut it vertical. It's just not going to work with Weston Davis as your right tackle. But outside of that, I mean, the passing plays to me, a good chunk of them made sense. The thing that bothers me when I watch LSU football play, and I promise we'll get back into the lane stuff, is that number one, neither of LSU's quarterbacks can move. All right, so Garrett, obviously, really right now, he can't move because he's hurt. And then, of course, Michael Van Buren, he himself has some mobility, but it's not elite elusiveness. He can run some, all right? I would say probably in the SEC, he's still probably a bottom four or five mover at the quarterback position. But it's better than what Garrett gives you. The issue with that is when you look at this LSU offense as a whole, one big problem that they have is that they are small. They are very small offensively. And I know that this kind of hammers home on a point that I have made a gazillion times over about I like my Southeastern Conference football players to be what? In the chat, let me know. How does Carter the Power, and I've never referred to myself in third person, but I feel like I've done this long enough to do this just this one time. How do I like my SEC football players? Someone in the chat, let our newbies know. There's one way I like them, outside of a few instances. Boom! I like them thick. Thicker than cold peanut butter. Thicker than a Snicker. Thicker than Klay Thompson's girlfriend. That's how I like my college football players. It's a force equals mass times acceleration league. We are a small team. Not only in terms of physical stature, but just we just don't have big dudes. Okay? That doesn't mean you have to be 6'4". Look at someone like Jeremy Bernard, the Alabama wide receiver. Dude's a chunk, right? He plays big, too. We're a small team. Our quarterbacks are small. Our offensive line, it's not the biggest group. I mean, they're big. It's just not the biggest group. So, for me, we need to get bigger. So, what does that mean at the quarterback position? Well, it would be nice to have a very plus athlete at the position. All right, so C.J. Bailey is definitely that. He's not a thick quarterback, but he can move. JKS is a big quarterback with a big arm, but he's not a runner. If you want dual threat ability at the quarterback position, then you don't go get JKS, who is the quarterback at Cal, and he is going to be the most coveted asset in the transfer portal because his coach got fired, and it would be nonsensical for him to not test the open market. With the coach being fired, the public's going to be on his side. So JKS is going to get at least $2 or $3 million. In the portal. That kid can flat out play. Should LSU kick the tires on DJ Lagway, who can move some, but you know, even when I look at the SEC, which is crazy to consider when DJ Lagway's high school tape is mostly him running, I'm not sure if he's a top half runner in the Southeastern Conference. I would put his mobility about the same as Arch Manning, if we're being honest. But he does have mobility. And he would put up pretty big numbers in a Lane Kiffin system. So it would be nice if our offense overall got more athletic. You know, obviously, Xavion is extremely athletic. Not that big, but he's extremely athletic. Berrion Brown is really fast. Doesn't break a lot of tackles, though, and could get knocked off his routes pretty easily. Okay? That's why they went and got Nick Anderson, because our wide receiver room was small. Our tight ends. They're not thick guys. Like, Tre'Davious Green is a hybrid wide receiver. Bauer Sharp, he's not one of those corn-fed tight ends. I want a tight end that can walk barefoot on lava. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen those guys? Not lava, but like the hot rocks. That's what I want. And we just haven't really had that pure, blocking, thick Dylan Gordon, Colin Jeter type for a while. I want you to really think about LSU's lack of tight end prowess over a very long period of time. Take a look at Ole Miss, for instance. Why am I such a big Lane guy? So take a look at Lane Kiffin. This is a guy that lost a version of Tre'Davious Green in Michael Trigg, who was a top 100 recruit, started his career at USC, went to Ole Miss, and was productive. A freak, if you will. He's got a bit of an attitude. Goes to Baylor, and obviously he was involved in something at Baylor that got the athletic director fired. But I don't think it was his fault. So he lost this guy. He lost Michael Trigg. No problem. No problem. Ole Miss's tight ends have been a top three group in the SEC. That Caden Prescorn, who was fantastic at Ole Miss, and he moved on. And then this year, big number eight, Daquan Wright is probably, to me, the best tight end in the SEC. It's either him or Stowers at Vanderbilt. And what is Daquan Wright? That is a dude. He is big. He has some Antonio Gates to him, right? And my favorite thing about him is that he can actually run after the catch. So when you look at this LSU offense as a whole, we have got to get not only more physical, we just need bigger bodies, all right? If you look at our offensive line, they're very lean body types. We don't have a lot of leverage. And something else I really like about Lane, all right? And we'll follow up with the Alexander Super Chat here in just a moment. One other thing I really like about Lane is his ability to manipulate defenses, to use your offensive players in their best capacities. I did not word that smoothly at all. But he does a good job getting his offensive players into positions where they can succeed. So a guy like Kawan Lacy, if Kawan Lacy was on LSU, he would probably still be our RB1. He's been that good for them this year, but he wouldn't be having the season that he's having now. And a guy like Harlan Berry, you know, he could set some records in a Lane offense, especially as a pass catcher. Okay? Let's go to Dirk Laviere Spieler. Welcome to the channel. Lane is not going to LSU 1,000%. Okay? Sibley says Lane Kiffin is our next football coach. I will be honest. Sibley actually knows people. The people that know more than me, that are higher up than me, know where some bodies are buried. One of which sent me a very interesting image of a potential place the Kiffins could live. I mean, it's gotten that. I mean, that's how certain some people are at LSU. Now, Noda Kiffin, stop trying to win the press release, says a very nice super chat from Guitar George. I want to get into another topic here as far as the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes are concerned. We're going to jump around a lot. If you guys just want to talk Lane for the next couple of hours, I understand it. I also want to talk some contingency plans. This was not a good week for Elijah Drinkwitz. I will tell you to not freak out about that for quite a few reasons. But, you know, if Eli Drinkwitz was the next LSU head coach, I wouldn't hate it. A lot of you would hate it, though. It's never good when your name gets put into the LSU coaching cycle and rumor mill, and you only put up 6 points versus Oklahoma. Okay. I want to talk about the next 6 days as far as this current LSU football team. One very interesting outcome for LSU is you get blown out by Oklahoma, and you might see a wave of opt-outs for the bowl game. I do think a lot of these one-year rental types are seriously considering not doing the bowl game, and that would totally make sense, in particular for a guy like Mansoor Delane. Will we actually see Mansoor Delane versus Oklahoma? There's no sense in me even talking about that when, you know, Frank's going to update us on that tomorrow. He's not necessarily that big of a deal for this game because Oklahoma's receivers are not that great. They're good. Isaiah Satania is good. We've played him a few times. His parents are LSU legacies. Giovanni Gibson's from Opelousas. They've got a lot of really talented receivers, but there's no Cam Coleman out there. I know Oklahoma's offense pretty well. I've done a film study on them every week this year for Power Hour SEC. John Mateer's not that great, but he is a good college quarterback. He doesn't lose games for you. And honestly, he's probably the antithesis of Garrett Nussmeier, other than both of them share being this year relatively mid compared to expectations. You know, Mateer does not put up big gaudy passing numbers, but he doesn't turn the football over, and he knows how to pick up key third downs with his legs and his arm. All right, so that's the antithesis of Garrett Nussmeier, where he's also been mid in the passing yard department. He doesn't give you those legged third downs, and he also throws a lot of picks. So, you know, this matchup this week, Oklahoma's 10.5-point favorites. There is a piece of me that leans LSU there, even though we're not a good team. And this is by far the worst matchup for our offense versus that defense. In particular, if they get R. Mason Thomas back. You know, R. Mason Thomas had Will Campbell in a blender last year, which is crazy. That really was the only edge rusher where I was like, damn, like Will is having a tough go at it. And even then, Will still played fine in that game overall. But that dude is so good, he's been hurt for them. I doubt he sits out a do-or-die playoff game this week. So if he's available, we're in a lot of trouble. And even with him not being available, they're still really good. They have David Stone, number zero, is a good player for them. The best linebacker in the SEC has been Kip Lewis, number 10 for Oklahoma. Fantastic football player. 10.5-point favorites. And I tweeted this out yesterday. It was clearly a joke. Some people didn't think it was a joke. I said the over-under for this game is set at 2.5. So there you go. Now, as far as the rest of the SEC is concerned, we are of the playoff do-or-die games, the least compelling of which you have Alabama versus Auburn. It's a do-or-die playoff game for Alabama. Then you have Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl versus Mississippi State. That's the most compelling game. And then, well, you can even make a case that Tennessee versus Vanderbilt is the most compelling game. What about Texas versus Texas A&M? There are so many different playoff scenarios in play here. There's still a very distant, and I mean near impossible way that Tennessee could sneak in through the back door. But I don't think that's happening. It's going to be a wild week in the Southeastern Conference, and this could be the wildest we have ever had. At least since 2007, of course, which, of course, was wild for us and a lot of others, especially if you include Missouri at the time, was a Big 12 school, and they helped LSU out. Now, I want to say thank you. We also, before we get into another thing, a lot of you sent me tickets for Western Kentucky. All right, this happens. I'm not the only YouTuber that this probably happens to. But I got sent a lot of tickets, and we're able to give some of them out. And yeah, you know, it kind of all flew in at the last minute as well. Oh, we gave some out for the Arkansas game, and we gave some out here. And as much as I like doing that, I don't want that to happen again. And I do want to at least conversate about the Tiger Stadium experience, right? We have all these night games, and everybody was really checked out. You know, people were checked out at the Arkansas game. The crowd was still good because it was a fun game. But, man, the reports of Western Kentucky. I have a friend who OCs for a professional team in Europe. And once the season is over, he immediately flies over and goes to a game in Tiger Stadium. He loves it that much. And he's like, Carter, this is lame. He's like, this is just not what it needs to be. And we had a lot of legends there. Kev Falk was there. Alec Broussard was there. He had some fun guest captains as well. But it was Western Kentucky. Now, there were some positives. There were, you know, I wanted to bring up mark that down. DJ Pickett, and how great he was in this game yesterday. He was phenomenal. That was such an elite cornerback performance. It is not lost on me that on senior night, the game ball went to DJ Pickett, who to me is the single most important player to bring back for next year's team, more than anyone else on the roster. There's just so much value in having elite cornerback play. And I want you to really think about that, because especially when you're watching defense, you're not able to pick up on some of the things where the team isn't doing too hot. It can get masked by eliteness elsewhere. And a good example of this is the LSU secondary has been so unfreaking believably good this year that you really haven't noticed that the pass rush has been non-existent in terms of a front four pass rush. Now, the LSU defensive line has not been bad. They have been really good against the run in particular. But the Relaford injury really hurt. Not even as much in the run game, but he was very good at setting up blitzes and getting guys unblocked for those blitzes or linebackers from the second and third level. That hurt. But we really, that wasn't really our game, right? We never got elite pass rush from all of our ends outside of last night. Pyburn, fantastic. Peyton, fantastic. Jamari Butler was the best player outside of Pickett defensively last night. But, you know, that's why DJ Pickett is so big. You know, you bring him back, he's probably going to be on every All-American team. And, you know, it's just so critical. And he's obviously a guy that could use his leverage and say, look, let me see what else is out there. He is so important that we bring back. So then you get into what are the pros and cons of trying to make sure you get Corey Raymond back for next season, and what do you make of Blake Baker's chances of coming back? And the answer to that is, well, we don't know. We don't know. That's why this Lane domino is so big. It's not so much Lane. I think LSU has their contingency plans in place, if you will, if Lane is not the guy. What do you want to do with your defensive coordinator? So we then get into what Ole Miss's defensive coordinator situation is like. Pete Golding is our defensive coordinator. He has been in the Southeastern Conference for a very long time. I think Pete is a fantastic defensive coordinator. He's a Saban guy. He left Saban to join Lane at Ole Miss, and he's been pretty good. All right. Ironically, I think the worst game he DC'd might have been versus us last year on that final drive. I did not understand what he was trying to accomplish. But he is a very good defensive coordinator. I think most would put him no less than a top 20 DC in all of college football. From what I understand is that if Lane were to go to LSU, I do believe he would try to stay. The first thing is Pete probably is interested in being the head coach at Ole Miss. And, you know, you promote from within, and then you can obviously promote a guy like Charlie Weiss to a larger salary than what he already has. He's already the highest paid OC in the SEC. So we'll see. We'll see what Pete decides to do. But I do think he is leaning, no matter what, to stay at Ole Miss. Now, the thing that's interesting about that is Pete Golding has a heavy history with the state of Louisiana, him being from Hammond. So, yeah, I would love Pete Golding to be LSU's defensive coordinator. But I'm fine with Blake Baker as well. I do think Blake has done enough. I do think Blake is a very introspective guy in terms of not being rigid in his ways and looking at himself in the mirror saying, hey, I could do this better. Hey, I can, you know, call this during this situation better. And where he has really hurt LSU this year is third downs. There have been quite a few third down calls that just have perplexed me. We have also had the issue overall as a team just lining up. Let's go to Blake. Who do I truly believe LSU gets as a head coach? So like I've said, I think Lane is staying at Ole Miss. Even though everyone is saying LSU. And the thing that really is interesting about the LSU smoke is it's not Baton Rouge folks saying this. Yes, there are LSU people in the media, those that read every word of every message board, and of course, people that actually work at LSU that watch and have relayed to me that they feel this is going to happen. Their opinions are probably more valuable on this matter, those that last set of people, than mine. They feel really good about it. They really, really, really do. And there's a lot of good that comes with Lane coming back. In particular, the long shot of Whit Weeks coming back, which I've shared. So, yes, take that for what it's worth. But Florida felt this way, too. You just don't know. You just do not know. A lot of this would make sense in terms of the most epic Lane Kiffin troll job. I do not think this is the case. I really don't. And I think when he stays at Ole Miss, it can get painted as that. I don't think that's the case. I do believe in the reports that those close to Lane are pushing him towards going to LSU. As in, not necessarily his family, but those that have sway. Those that know him. You know, there's been rumors of Nick, the Nick. And I'm not talking Brissett. I'm not talking about the man that'll be climbing down your chimneys here in a few weeks. I'm talking about the Nicholas Saban that has told Lane about this, all right, about the power of LSU and all those things. And it's interesting because Nick has always been open to giving advice, even to people that many would consider to be rivals. Nick still is employed by Alabama. And Nick, which was revealed a few weeks ago, which really isn't a shock, Nick still talks to Verge Osbury. They're still friends. So Lane probably relies on Nick for mentorship, but this is going to be a Lane decision. Now, if LSU does not go in that direction, Eli Drinkowitz's name has had a lot of steam. You know, I would like Drink. I will stand by that he is a good college football coach. If you actually watch that Oklahoma game and you know how good that Oklahoma defense actually is, you then begin to realize how good Lane is for really putting that defense on skates. That really was their only bad game defensively on the year. So, you know, Missouri was able to run the football early on Oklahoma. It just wore down. Okay. Let me see. If I pause, it's because I'm getting messages and all of that. We'll go to a quick break. I do want to read this one. A DM earlier that happened during the show. There's a lot of stuff that does get passed around during the show. So we'll be right back once again. Thanks to our friends at Labor Therapy and LaborTherapy.com. Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of Labor Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at Labor Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes, it doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, labortherapy.com, with locations in Carncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. Labortherapy.com, L-A-B-O-R-D-E, therapy.com. Let's go. S. Young says, hell no to Elijah Drinkwitz. I'm just shocked how many people just do not like him. I'm shocked. I think part of it is the appearance. I really do think so. All right. Like, I kind of relate to Elijah Drinkwitz, that I look like a nerd. I am not tall. I could be corny. I get it. And there's a lot of stuff he has said that I just do not jive with. Okay. But the guy can coach. And look, what is the number one complaint that people have given at PHL? It's not that we can't throw. I mean, we've had Garrett when he was actually a top half SEC quarterback. He could throw, right? It's a run game. So why not get the guy who has succeeded running the play that we've tried to run, which is outside zone? Why don't we get him here? He probably fixes that problem. All right. So the poll question's up. We'll check it here once again. Big thanks to Labor Therapy and Fortified Gulf Coast. Are you a fan of Lane Kiffin? 81% of you say yes. 19% of you say no. So before I answer this super, before we get to Blake's next super here, I want this to also be a place where you do not like to like the individual being the head coach. So there's three people I want to shout out here. All right, there's two writers that used to write at a website called ATVS. One is a guy by the name of Billy Gamilla. The other is a guy, why am I drawing a blank on his name? I love his tweets. He now works for Tiger Air. And Evan Sachs, I think that's it. Either way, he is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant football mind. And neither liked Brian Kelly. And they kind of quit talking about LSU football. That's how much they just did not like the guy. And then our guest, Daily Joy, took a lot of heat for what she said on this channel about Brian Kelly. And you got to remember, she's obviously making a lot of money with her SEC Pretty brand. That was like just launching when she came on here and said that. And come to find out, I reached out to her the next week. We're not like close, but we're friends. And she said, Carter, the exact opposite of what you thought happened when I criticized Brian Kelly. She said there were multiple LSU powers that be that complimented her on being bold on here. So she was someone else that's never really liked Brian Kelly. So to this poll question and to this super chat, it is okay if you do not like Lane Kiffin personally. It is perfectly fine. There are a lot of things about Lane you could not like personally. Now, if you're a yoga instructor in Baton Rouge, you'll love the guy. If you're a marlin fishing fan in Baton Rouge, you'll love the guy. If you sell visors in Baton Rouge, you'll love the guy. But he's not going to be liked by many. And especially those that don't like social media distractions. They don't like big personalities. I get it. I would totally understand it. Totally. But the truth is a guy can coach. And anyone that's watched his channel for the past 4 years, since we did our 2021 head coach opening rankings, Lane from start to finish was 1A or 1B. And it's hard for me to not have him number one now. So, you know, it's okay. Now, you get into seeing the high character of Frank Wilson. Do you think Kiffin's character will fit and lead LSU staff well? Kiffin is the roller coaster. So, you then get into how do the staff members at Ole Miss actually like Lane Kiffin? They love him. Now, they might not privately like him, but they love him because he wins. And when the head coach is winning, the one coach that truly does move the needle for your program, everybody gets promotions. Everybody looks good. There are offensive linemen on Ole Miss that looked like LSU offensive linemen to start this season. One was a transfer from Arkansas by the name of Patrick Custis. And Patrick said, I would never leave Arkansas. I would never stab Sam Pittman in the back. Just for him to do it to the guy that Sam Pittman was a rival against, which is Lane Kiffin. Pittman put a number on Kiffin a few times. And Patrick went over there, and he stunk up the joint early in the season. Could not block a soul. Wore the same jersey number as Weston Davis. You wouldn't be able to tell them from one to one. And what happened? Lane fixed the problem. Lane fixed it. So, could you imagine one of the offensive linemen on LSU magically getting better over the course of the season? A special coach can make that work. You know, it's part of the reason why I like Josh Heupel so much. Josh has had issues at the offensive tackle position. Last year, Lance Hurd had a tough season. They were still able to make the college football playoff. This year, Lance Hurd's been good. Outside of the Alabama game, where he was not good, he's been mostly good. Okay? So, they bring in another five-star, David Sanders. David Sanders, the true freshman right tackle for Tennessee, lost Tennessee the game versus Oklahoma. That's how big some of the mistakes he made in that game. Okay? R. Mason Thomas, who we were talking about a minute ago, got a pick six in that game because David Sanders blew a block. So what happened on versus the Swamp this past weekend? Well, going up against Tyreek Sapp, who a lot of you know, he didn't let David Sanders decide the game this time. Lots of rollouts, quick throws into the flats. They also didn't have their blocking tight end, Miles Kitzelman. So he switched things up. He called the game a little bit differently. And you saw what happened last night. So great offensive coaches can work around bad offensive line play. So you can get into the slippery slope of, hey, what is this guy's character? Is he a leader of men? Well, the truth is all of that nonsense really doesn't matter anymore. Or it doesn't matter as much as it used to. Because now players are buying in to the role that a team could give them and the money a team that can give them instead of what that team actually is. So you're going to have, if Lane comes over, you're going to have a lot of guys coming here to play for LSU, but they're also coming here to play for Lane, to be a part of this system, to be a part of what he has done as a coach with the offensive players over the past couple of seasons. And I think he would do really big things here. Now, is Lane going to be as popular as Frank Wilson? Well, what if I told you you can have both of them? I do think there is a good chance that Frank is on the roster next season with LSU. Okay? Would you rather sweat mayonnaise for the rest of your life or never watch another LSU game for the rest of your life? Well, change my name to Duke. because I'm going to be sweating mayonnaise. Okay? Call me Patty off of Doug Funny because I'm going to be a mayonnaise man. I can't live without my LSU football. That is a little bit different because it is a job. It's hard to enjoy like the fan aspect of it as much. That's why I try to go to at least one game every year so I can still be in that Tiger Stadium feel. And then there's no kind of feel that comes close to being in that building. But there you go. S. Young says, drink is Brian Kelly 2.0. S. Young, you just do not like Eli Drinkwitz. And that's okay. Mr. Terp says Dillingham number one. So you have Kenny as your number one guy overall, as does S. Young. It's Kiffin or Dillingham. The last head coach we got from the state of Arizona won two of the last three natties. The last quarterback we got from Arizona won the Heisman. You are right. All right. Y'all want me to stay on topic or do you want Carter story time? Because I got a crazy Arizona State story. Actually, I got two. Let's go to this is AmiCat. Some are all smart enough to go to Ole Miss. It's a better program than Auburn or Florida right now. Yeah, I don't know about that. I do not know about that. I think... yeah, right now they're a better program. Sure. But this idea of so-and-so being an elite program is kind of overvalued. I think program health is going to be very much year to year. You know, we had one of our favorite guests is Chris Phillips from SEC Unfiltered. Like, he's just good. He's just really good at what he does. And... you know, he's not really like an analyst. Like, he's kind of this guy that goes to all these different places and throws parties and all that stuff. But he tweeted out something interesting talking about how big of a cleanup LSU is going to be and how big of a cleanup Florida is going to be. And that's true. But this is not the old college football anymore. Things can change so quickly from year to year. You know, and that could go for the positive or the negatives. There's just not really many jobs out there that I would consider to be a high floor job, especially with the SEC going to a 9-game conference schedule. The only job that I think is going to be bulletproof for any coach, right? You could think of the absolute worst coach imaginable. Chad Morris, if you will, or just anyone. That's what, if you were to poll most SEC writers and ask them who is the worst SEC coach, they would probably say Chad Morris. But whoever it may be, if they were to go to Ohio State, they could probably go no less than 8-4 or 9-3 with what they have and the schedule and the resources and all of that. I just don't think there's a job like that in the SEC. I just don't think so. You know, yeah, Georgia and Alabama, they kill everybody in recruiting. But even that's subjective, right? Yeah, in terms of blue chip ratio, sure. And that helps them out in a major way. But it's interesting how well those teams have been coached this season. And then it's also interesting when you really pay attention to how close their games have actually have been. You know, old Alabama and old Georgia games were like current Ohio State games, just blowouts. So there you go. Let's keep it going. What if LSU goes after an offensive coordinator? Wouldn't mind it. Would not mind it. This is something that may not make a lot of sense, but it honestly does when you really think about what a head coach actually does. The jump from being a coordinator to a head coach is easier than from being a non-play caller to being a coordinator. Because, yes, there are a lot of things you do as a head coach that is just way different from you as a coordinator. But it's still a job where it's as much people skills and management skills as it is coaching football skills, where if you jump to being a non-play caller to a play caller, the only way you can really get experience being a better play caller is actually calling plays. So a good example of this is Mississippi State. So they hired a guy by the name of Coleman Hutzler, I think that's his name, to be their defensive coordinator last year, and he was ass. He was clearly in over his head. And this was a guy that had a lot of position coach experience. Now, this year, he's been better. Now, they got some good transfers. They got Malik Silla, I think, from Texas A&M. They got some good pieces, but they're not atrocious. They're still not great defensively. But there you go. S. Young follows up, I would not mind Colin Klein better than that Missouri loser. God, dude, you hate Elijah Drink. I can't believe you're calling him a loser. An SEC coach who went to Missouri and won a Cotton Bowl over Ohio State is a loser. That's crazy to me. Just really say that aloud. Auburn. I didn't know Auburn has a Buc-ee's. There's one coming to Ruston, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Let me see. I've touched on everything that I wanted to get to as far as LSU is concerned. I do want to bring up that this channel is going to be a big Derrick Queen channel for you Pelican fans. Not only because I love him, it's also because I have heavy DMV connections. I lived there before. So, Derrick Queen, you always have an invite for being our first ever Pelican guest here on PHL, okay? Drink is like 0-16 versus top 25 teams. All right, so who are those teams? Okay, lose to Oklahoma on the road with your quarterback returning. They're going to the playoff. All right, so it's not just ranked teams he's losing to. He's losing to Alabama. A lot of these ranked losses were with backup quarterbacks and so on and so on. Oh, he lost to Jaden Daniels. Okay. Like, I just think for some reason, and it's like this, if you don't look the part, I'm sure if he looked like Dan Campbell or if he looked like an actual player, like Marcus Freeman or someone like that, you would be like, okay, he's good. He's a good coach. Now, I want to, share something that I've learned from college football as a whole. And we do this on Sunday nights. We can get into some larger scale college football conversations. We need to start talking about season openers. And this year was one of the worst years for college football marquee season openers. One thing I think you should hope for wanting season opening games to truly count is for Miami to get in over the play into the playoff over Notre Dame. Miami did beat them on the field. They beat them in a season opening game in Miami, with the quarterback who has a gazillion starts versus a QB who has hardly any. And what happened? Okay. Well, Notre Dame lost. Now, in Notre Dame's defense, they did get a weird bye week after that, and then they lost to Texas A&M the following week by one in South Bend. Since then, Notre Dame has beaten everybody by double digits. I don't think it's far-fetched to say Notre Dame is clearly one of the best teams in college football, one of the 12 best teams in college football. And if they were to play Miami again, they would probably be favored by 3, 3.5. But if you're of the ilk, I want the games to matter more. You're going to want Miami to get in over Notre Dame. Okay. Let's go to Army base. What I'm trying to say, do we want to go through what Ole Miss is going through now? I hated it with Les and just don't like that. Let UF have that. All right, so there's two different sides to this. Is it true that Lane could leave you at the altar? Yes. Are there these people out there that say Kalen DeBoer is going to go to Penn State, and if Alabama opened up, would Lane go to Alabama if they offered? Probably so. It's just, it's not really a secret how much Lane adores the A. So, yeah, it's one of those things you're scared about. Anytime Ole Miss anytime a coach leaves for a rival, then once again, it's not Lane going from Ole Miss to Mississippi State, but he's going to the Magnolia Bowl rival. Keep in mind as well, Mississippi State is a school that I feel nobody thinks is a job that Lane would leave for. But yeah, Ole Miss fans are going to feel salty about that. But I just don't think those rivalries matter as much anymore. Now, we just had Jim Schlossnagel in baseball leave Texas A&M the day after a national championship game to go to Texas. That is still wild to me. Now, I know it's not football, but that is still a coach who was making seven figures to go to another seven-figure job, which is like one of the most visceral rivalry jumps you could make, going from Texas A&M to Texas, right? So it's just different now as far as like a coach leaving to go to another rival. I just don't think players care as much. I just don't. And it's sad. It's really, really, really sad. But the opposite side of this is also true. You don't need Lane Kiffin to win at LSU. You don't need any one coach for your program to win. So this is more so not a comment for us, but the powers that be at LSU to say, look, he didn't choose us. Let's look at this as a blessing in disguise. There are so many blessing in disguises that have happened at LSU. A lot. Every reaction oftentimes has an equal and opposite reaction, whether that reaction is for the good or the bad. I think a lot of us fantasize, if you will, about what if Nick Saban never left LSU? Well, we're probably at the bare minimum, he's probably winning at least two more national championships, if not more. But if Nick never leaves LSU, you're never getting Jaden Daniels. You're never getting Joe Burrow. You're never having a season as zany as the 2007 season. I mean, there's a lot of those things. I mean, there's pros and cons and equal and opposite reactions of a lot of different things when it comes to LSU athletics. So you're not in the worst spot in the world if it doesn't come to fruition. Where you should be worried, though, is what LSU does next. Because it would be a little bit later in the cycle. And there are a lot of moving parts. If Lane, and for some reason this really does drag out, what if during this next week, Drinkwitz has already agreed to be the next coach at Auburn? Okay, now you're in a tough spot. Let's go to Tickle Tickle Petal. And your initial is M. I don't even want to know. LSU needs to consider going after a guy like Deion Sanders. He's a hell of a coach and a phenomenal recruiter. Arkansas, yeah. That would make a lot of sense. And I even went into the history he has with Arkansas. He interviewed for the Arkansas job. Little known story that doesn't get publicly talked about all too much. But has he recruited well? Colorado does not produce elite recruiting classes. Now, they have gotten some 4 and 5 stars. All right. They've done some really good things in the portal, but the recruiting has gotten better. The brand has gotten better. Colorado was nothing before he really got there. But no. Okay. No. I mean, outside of the actual coaching, he has health problems. And what if Shador turns out to actually be the guy in Cleveland? Don't you think he wants to be with his son? I would. If I had all the money in the world and already have a college legacy kind of cemented, I mean, whether or not you think or you like Deion or not, he did change a lot in college football. And he's such a big star that he's brought a lot of big issues to the forefront. Some smaller, like the single-digit jersey number thing that I always bitch and moan about. Me and Deion are like in exact lockstep. It's just he runs a 4.3 and is one of the greatest football players of all time, and I'm just a guy with a microphone. But a single-digit player should mean something. Something else that he and I are in lockstep with. Spring football, let's actually play a damn game. So there are so many like forward-thinking things he has brought to college football outside of all the glitz and glamour and all that extra stuff. But this will probably be the last time you'll ever hear me say and address Deion at LSU. Okay? What is up with these comments? "4K Towing, this dude is just spewing Shiite out of his ass." It is kind of funny that you bring this up for a few reasons. All right, so we have a perfect game photo. I don't know if this is actually you or not. Look like Zac Efron in a High School Musical baseball spinoff. But you did say this dude is spewing Shiite out of his rear end. Okay. The funny thing is you are correct. Or you're about to be correct. So we're supposed to start at 8. I ate something and it's not agreed with me. So the funny thing about this 4K Towing is that you know me more than anyone else in this chat, even though this is your first ever comment. I'm about to be that whenever I leave this stream. Like I'm literally like I've had the greatest ab workout of all time sitting here dealing with this. And I don't know how you knew that. That is pretty impressive. Okay. But welcome to the channel. Dude, I don't think I've said anything crazy. I'm just having a conversation with the lovely people of PHL. I think he's on their radar for sure. Let's go to Lil Wah. SEC head coach jobs are LSU, Florida, Arkansas, Florida, Auburn. Florida is so bad, they have two openings. Bubble guts. I don't know how he knew that. Because the funny thing is, normally when you say something like that, it's you're spewing it out of your mouth, not out of your rear end. But that dude knows me, okay? Let's go to Kamala 80. "Too many people want a sexy hire instead of a quality hire. Jed Fish is Lane Kiffin with more professionalism." Other than both of them wearing visors, I don't really see it. I do think both of them have a likelihood of ending up at Florida, though, with Fish might being the more likely of the two. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Okay. Now, another college football story that broke over the weekend. Florida State retained their head coach. Mike Norvell's coming back after another disaster season. The Alabama game probably kept him alive. I don't know what it was. I think part of it is there's all these jobs that are open. Florida State has never been like the deepest bag school. So I get it. And then Aranda is back at Baylor. Baylor's deciding to keep him. Dave got lucky with this. I think part of it is the athletic director with the Michael Trigg incident and various other things got let go, who was also the head of the college football playoff committee. So for Baylor's standpoint, their statement was kind of worded strange, where he said, you know, I actually just got an interesting text as far as Lane is concerned. That's what I was looking at right there. I just don't know. I just don't know at this situation. I really don't. And by the way, I was making that up. My stomach's fine. I think. We'll see. Primetime, Carter Bryant, good to see you. Maxwell McKinney. Pegasus makes a good point. Isn't Jed Fish the job jumper? If we don't get Lane, I hope we get Will Stein or Blake Baker. Take a shot on a coordinator with an incentive deal. So the Blake Baker thing is tough because if you were to say, hey, we want Blake Baker to be the next head coach. Well, what if the guys in the locker room are like, well, why didn't you just do that in the first place, make it the interim in the first place? So would you demote Frank? Are you sure you want to do that? I just don't think if you were to do something like that, how many alumni you would piss off with that. If you were to hire from within and not go with Frank Wilson. And I will say, you don't really want to do something like that on the heels of the Moffitt situation as well. Who, of course, Tommy Moffitt, the LSU strength and conditioning coach. So if you were to get Lane knows quite a few people that have heavy LSU ties. Coach O comes back. Obviously, a lot of LSU alums are going to like that. The ones that won't are probably the ones that coached under him. If you bring back or you bring in Lane to keep Frank, obviously, that keeps everybody happy. Frank gets to stay at LSU. So there you go. All right, quick word from our friends at Fortify Gulf Coast and FortifyGulf.com.
PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortify Gulf Coast and FortifyGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important. But what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook,
or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you. It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563, or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FORTIFIEDGULF.com. Let's go. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter G, why you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. Let's go to a super really quickly. What the hype regarding Ole Miss, UF, and LSU? Is it really changing like everyone says, or is it speculation due to the lack of information? Yeah, I think for your super, let's first discuss what's causing all this tension outside of, you know, SEC football being pretty much the number one hobby for every one of these schools, right? Ole Miss is a football school. Florida is a football school. LSU is a football school. There's always going to be tension with whoever the head coach is going to be. It feels like we're waiting for the next pope of college football in the state. But the reason all of this is happening is because of the calendar. So the problem here, real Cass, is there's going to be a lot of information pumped from sources. And there's also quite a few sources that want to share info that are coaching assistants, analysts, and all of that. Because the quicker these things happen, the better it is for them to figure out what's going to happen for them next. So with the college football calendar basically being the way that it is now, well, everything just happens so much quicker. The early signing period happens. We're going to have the single portal window coming up. And it's tough, right? Because both of those things happen before the season ends. And the issue with that is, well, if you're coaching in the playoff and you know you're going to be somewhere else, how does all of that work? I think the hardest thing, as far as all the information changing, is that always go back to what matters. The only thing that matters is where Lane Kiffin signs. That is the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter if you think Knox is already enrolled at U-High. Do you know how quickly I could flip back to Oxford? None of that matters. It just comes down to what Lane Kiffin does when he signs on the dotted line. Ole Miss will take him back. Florida will take him. LSU will happily take him as well. And we have never seen a single head coach have this much leverage before. We just haven't. Now, you can make a case. A few years ago at Lincoln Riley, what happened with him was, you know, a situation where he did have options. But it's never been as public as this. And, you know, those stories were big. This one's different because the team actually is in the playoff. Even though Oklahoma and Notre Dame was still ranked around the same place where Ole Miss was ranked, the playoff wasn't extended back then. Okay? All right, so what was the text? Don't leave us hanging. Well, there's a back and forth. Let me see if it's still up on Twitter. And this, by the way, I will say this with my hand on my heart. None of this means anything, by the way. So there's a back and forth with one of our guests, Preston Guy, okay? And this, I've never heard of BR Tiger fan before. And basically the text was this message. That's basically what it was. So the only thing that I learned via this text is this Matthew guy does exist. And it just sounds like a name that you would make up, BR Tiger fan _. You know, so I saw this earlier. Obviously Preston and I are really close. And Preston, of course, is getting ready to have his second child. And, well, let me be clear. Preston's not having the child. His wife is having the child. But it partially came from his body. There you go. I think you guys could put that together. But this is just out there. That's basically what this text is. And basically, the message I got was this Matthew Kuhn is actually a real person. And that's why before the show began, I was like, that is pretty interesting. So MMR is the company that uses, that lets LSU use its jet, or as the jet has assisted LSU in the search. You can listen to All Things Go, our guest, Mr. Shane, who joined us not once, but twice. He knows quite a bit about MMR. And that's that. But I cannot stress enough, as part of the reason why I didn't want to share it, it's not my official stance. And I'm not taking that as like 1,000% truth or credible or any of that. It could be. All right. So, yeah, I saw that earlier. And basically, I do what I try to do behind the scenes, put the journalism hat on and see if these people are real. And there you go. Let's go to Brian. Pate says he talks to Lane almost every day and nobody knows Shia. Which is funny because there's someone else in this chat who said that Pate on his show said that he knows where Lane is going to go. I really do think, okay, like just rationally think about this. Do you not think if you were in his spot, you would be choosing about where you're wanting to go, okay? And not only would you be choosing, you would be torn about where you're wanting to go. Pay tweeting saying that he knew, but he sat on a show tonight. He was just trolling. That's the hard thing about it. Here are the people I respect when it comes to these searches. I talked about, and I respect Pay a lot, but I was talking about this Arkansas guy who spread the Dabo rumor about Arkansas. He might be right, but it was kind of clear he was trolling. But he was also posing as someone who was serious. So, you know, stick with the actual big-time reporters with big-time sources. I'm never going to be Ross Dellinger. We went through Ross Dellinger's report live on Friday when it broke. And there were some things that we had already said that was in that latest Dellinger report. But he's an actual guy that does news breaking. This is what he actually does. I don't actually do that. All right. So, you know, with Pate, he is an entertainer first and then a newsbreaker second. But does he talk to these people all the time? Yes, absolutely. He's the biggest college football personality alive right now. Well, what about the game day guys? Outside of the obvious ones, of course. Oh, there you go. I thought he was live when I was live. He might be off now, though. All right, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. Mike Miller, thanks for following me on Twitter. Appreciate that. It's funny, Mike Miller, you follow me on Twitter because one of my favorite Florida Gators of all time is Mike Miller. Who remembers Mike Miller for the Miami Heat? One of the only redeeming Florida Gators out there. Okay. I hate to say it. There are some Florida Gators that exist that have aura. Not a lot of them, though. He's one of them. Bayou Rat says he's going to be in Fairhope next month. Well, let's do it up then. I beg my wife to go see her family in Fairhope. But she don't want to go anymore for whatever reason. I want to go. Okay. Now, let's talk about these Saints. Never easy to let Kirk Cousins come into your trap and take care of business. Kirk, you like that Cousins. And if you're a diehard Saints fan, you know some of his biggest moments have come versus us. He won a playoff game with those stinky-ass Minnesota Vikings in our Superdome. Who's my backup? Dilly or Summerall? I'm okay with Summerall. I think you mean by Dilly, you mean Dillingham. I'm okay with him as well. But, you know, you'll hear a lot of people, like myself, who work in college football, you know, say, I like this guy. Well, it goes back to there being multiple people that could make it work at LSU. Fabrizio Romanos. For those that don't know, that's like the Shams of soccer. Here we go. Let's go to Kevin. What is the most intriguing thing about Lane Kiffin's offense? Okay. Where do you want to start? I can literally go on about this for 20 minutes. Now, I like to say that I've watched a lot of Kiffin. I don't do Kiffin film studies every week, but I adore the man. I adore his offenses. I really do. So let's start with the formations. Nick Saban did a really good breakdown of this on game day about how he uses formations to create numerical advantages for his players. Lane is also really good on the mic. him and Charlie Weiss have done a really good job as far as the helmet communication to his QB, the green dot. He revealed that he was able to tell his QB to throw the backside dig versus us for a huge 3rd-and-14 conversion. That's not easy to do when it's not like the first read of the progression, right? He told his quarterback, hey, if you'll look to the right and then work back to the left, you're going to have somebody open. It's a lot, okay? Now, that didn't happen during a helmet communication. It actually happened during a timeout, but there you go. First part about Lane's offense that I love is the fourth down aggressiveness. So he was very aggressive on fourth down early in his career, almost too aggressive. The problem with some of his fourth down aggressiveness is that he wasn't as imaginative on fourth down as he is now. You know, his fourth down conversions in the dart era were mostly done by their defensive tackles, J.J. Pegues. Then what he does on fourth down now is a lot of reverses. You know, what a lot of teams do on fourth and short now is run a play called RB Fast. That's been an automatic fourth down converter. Teams have been able to adjust to it. Lane's done some of that as well, but more so he uses a lot of pre-snap motion and reverses and end arounds and all of that for fourth down conversions. He gets very creative. He'll dribble. This was a big one in the Penn State game a few years ago. He'll dribble a ball back to a defensive tackle and he pick it up and pick up the first down. Something else that Lane does a really good job of are leaks. Just tight end leaks, easy completions for the quarterbacks, where tight end acts like he's blocking, and then next thing you know, he is to the opposite side of the field, totally wide open. Very, very, very good at that. Then we get into the quarterback play. You've had quite a few quarterbacks come in and play at a high level. Obviously, Dart, as we could see in the NFL, he was a special player. But Matt Corral was a good college quarterback. He wasn't anything special. Then now with Trinidad Chambliss, who's very good, but a fair state transfer. Makes life easy for the quarterbacks. And don't just listen to me on this. This is more so an NFL draft evaluator. All the NFL draft evaluators said that. In fact, that's part of why Jackson Dart fell, and that's why a lot of people just did not like Dart in the pre-draft process, including myself. I was probably more of a third or fourth round grade on him. But Dart's good, man. And a big reason why was because of Lane's development. And then, you know, we get into the run game. Lane's run game is always good. And when you think about his run game, yeah, all of his QBs have had, like, a really good rushing pedigree attached to him. But none of them are like Jaden Daniels, Marcel Reed, Blazer types. All of them are really good runners. But the QB run game is a big part of what he does, and just the handoffs, all the different types of handoffs, how he manipulates you with his guards, how he sequences his run calls. Here's a good example if you want to get down into the weeds on this. So to me, and this film study's up for all our patrons and members. If you want to sign up and see this, I guarantee it's going to be worth your subscription. If you sign up today, I'll cover your first month. All right. On this live stream, if you sign up, you can check it out. You can hit the join button down below. It'll give you access to this film study. You can go to the Patreon page. It'll give you access to this film study. One of the best coached SEC football games was Lane versus Kentucky earlier this year. It literally was just a masterful piece of coaching. With a quarterback who was younger and overwhelmed and down by 10 on the road versus Kentucky. And I know what you're going to say. Well, it's Kentucky. Well, Kentucky's not bad. I mean, they're not, you know, just the worst team. I mean, they're not good. but they've shown that they at least have a pulse. So you also had the aspect of you lost to these guys the year before. So it was a big mental hurdle to come back from down 10 to make it work. And this isn't in the Patreon study. This is a different play. But at the end of the game, Lane ran a play that Heupel ran to beat Alabama last year. And the basic gist of it is you have all your offensive linemen block in one direction, and you actually run a running back sweep in the opposite. And I just love that play. I really, really, really do love that play. So Lane did this. He saved it. He didn't run it for the entire game and saved it for the end. And what made it great was Quan Lacy had a good game just running these traditional runs. And then at the end, you're getting non-traditional. Offensive line, zone blocking one way, running back sweep going in the opposite. But what Lane did was truly special. He ran that same play back-to-back, but in opposite directions. And they both worked. And another wrinkle added into those plays were he actually put Chambliss into the game to run those plays. So it's there's so many different things. And obviously, I'm not breaking it down as like a Brian Baldinger with all these different like technical terms, but these are just overarching ideas that he figures out over the course of a game. He does a really good job of it. But I highly recommend you check out the Patreon. Highly recommend it. Now, because it puts food on my table, obviously. But it also shows you what makes this guy special. His best fourth down play call was in this game. Okay. There you go. Mr. Falasco. I know this man. He's a mastermind of fourth down conversations. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Unk, well, it's good. I'm glad I'm getting Unk status still from you, BZ. But yeah, we just talked about that on the fourth down when he puts Pegues there. Obviously, Pegues is in the NFL now. It's fun, man. It's really, really, really fun. Wait, what? Uh-oh. Big college football news. Big. Okay. Might not be big because it's a D2 job. Art Briles is back coaching. Eastern New Mexico, a Division II program that finished 3-8. Okay. Big deal. So why is it a big deal? Well, Art was once Lane Kiffin. You want to get into who really moved the needle for modern college football. There's just not many guys ahead of Art Briles. Now, you know, when it comes to the Mount Rushmore of legendary coaches involved in nefarious, crazy evil things, he's definitely on that Mount Rushmore. Okay. But I'm just saying, as someone who's not coached but does film studies, it is amazing how many coaches who I'll reach out to when it comes to a play design or what they think or what it's called or whatever, and they all worship Art Briles. Not as a person, obviously, but, you know, I don't think, if you're younger, especially as well, if you are in your mid-30s or higher, you know the stranglehold that Art Briles had on the college football, like, coaching world and just in general. He's really good, man. There's just, his son is really good, too. And his son being involved with some of that is pretty interesting, because Kendall Briles would already be a head coach if he was not involved in that. Okay. And if you want to really get into, hey, we don't care about morals at all, we just want a guy who can win, I don't know why Kendall Briles has not been hired yet to be a head coach somewhere. It makes no sense to me. All right. But you have to be willing to put skeletons in a closet. LSU had to do the same with Brian Kelly. And a lot of you know what those things are. You got to do that with a lot of coaches. Okay. But, you know, if you want to win badly enough, go hire Kendall Briles. Go hire Kendall. All right. Here's a Kendall Briles stat. Since 2021, every single one of his offenses have averaged 6 yards per play. Every single one of them. Now think about where he's been. He's been at Arkansas and TCU. Are those football powerhouses? Was he calling plays for LaDainian Tomlinson? Andy Dalton? No. 6 yards per play. Who is his quarterback at Arkansas? KJ Jefferson. What did KJ do when he left Art Briles? He turned into a corn cob. Kendall Briles is really good. He's really, really, really good. It's just you don't want him to be your head coach if you don't want to deal with what you should get if you hire him. The same thing that Eastern New Mexico, whatever, Art just did to sign up for this. And there's different pros and cons of doing this with quite a few different people. Okay. Kendall is at TCU. He's the offensive coordinator at TCU, and he's really good. The thing that's interesting as far as the Art Briles system is apparently he's the only one that could really call it the way that he can call it, him and Kendall. They said that they have some mythical, magical sorcery. But the Briles system is basically everywhere. So Tennessee was running it, and they've kind of gone a little bit more pro style. They brought Jim Chaney in as a consultant, and they've modified what they've done. Obviously, Leach, Air Raid. Yeah, there's so many different things you can get into. You can go get Air Raid certified as well. Let me see. You can go take a class and get Air Raid certified. Let me see. I'm going to put it up right here. I learned from the goat, Hal Mummy. Learn how to coach like Mike Leach. Say certification. Let's see how much it is. I've kind of wanted to do this. $524.99. I will not be doing this. Yeah, Levy runs it, but because, like you said, that's his father-in-law. Mississippi State's offense has been pretty solid. Okay. All right. Thanks to all our super chatters. Alexander, holding it down. Blake, Steven. Unless y'all wanted to keep this going, I don't mind. I got some NFL film studies to do. Mr. Terps, Real Cass, Frankie, Chris. Going to be a crazy day. We will be live tomorrow as well. Okay. See if there's anything else here. All right. So I kind of want to do this because our guest, Cooper Patagna, who I love. I love Cooper. Please go subscribe to his channel. He's worked at 247. He's worked with Saban. And he's been asking, every time he comes on here, he puts my feet to the fire and predicting where everything's going to land. And once again, my gut's telling me Ole Miss for Lane. The people that know real stuff are saying LSU for Lane. Here's my outside opinion, connecting a few dots here. I think Clark Lee's name's about to get steamed up. Not necessarily for LSU, because you look at Clark Lee, he kind of, you know, coach, ADs like to emulate what other teams are doing to get their crap going. And a lot of defensive coaches have had a lot of success. Notice we mostly talk offensive coaches. I think Clark Lee's name is going to start coming up here for Auburn. I think Florida. I think there's quite a few schools that it makes a lot of sense for. And things are just a little too quiet now with him for doing what he's done. Okay. So, you know, just something to keep in mind. It's been a little quiet on his end. And he can also say, look, I'm at Vanderbilt now. How much better are things going to be at Vanderbilt when Pavia leaves? Dang, Leach did do good at Mississippi State. He did. That's Ed Orgeron. But there you go. It is Power Hour. LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing lasagna. Let's go.